Good morning and happy Mother's Day to everyone today. Good to see you and great to gather and worship. This is week number 9 of our live Facebook Live and YouTube Live broadcast. And today is Mother's Day. So for all of the moms out there, we want to say happy Mother's Day. And we love you. We're thankful for you and for your investment in our lives. And Sarah was excited that was her Mother's Day present to Tana. She was wanting to sing a song, and we've been working on it for several weeks. And she kept asking me what she was practicing. So now you know what's going on. But I hope if your mother is alive that you take time today to call her, contact her, let her know that you love her and how much you appreciate her and her influence in your life. And so week number 9, I didn't come up with Mother's Day memes, but I've got a few memes that are kind of church related. We're going to look at today. The first one, when your church is closed due to Corona, but you have people to baptize. There's a couple ideas for you, or an idea for you. What about, you know, it's Mother's Day, everybody's pulling out all of the pictures, family pictures. What about the baby pictures of Adam and Eve? Anybody think about what those must have looked like? Imagine, if you will, an atheist is stuck behind you at a green light and you have a honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker on your car. All right. A guy is walking up the driveway and the man says, I think he's an usher from the church and he's got a collection plate. They're coming to collect the offering. And Miss Jones got a little too used to watching online worship from home and she showed up to church in her bedroom slippers. And so who knows what it's going to look like when everything's finally do get back to some sense of normal. We're excited to gather, and this morning we're looking at a passage in the book of Genesis. Beginning a series over the next few Sundays on pictures from the Old Testament. And we're going to be looking at each one of these men and women have certain character traits that each one of us should desire to possess in our walk with God. And it's, before we begin this morning, we're going to begin with a word of prayer. Then we're going to dive into our text this morning and look at the story and the picture of Noah and the faith that he demonstrated in his relationship with God and how it affected really his destiny. And what an awesome picture of his faith that's on display for us all to see. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessings on our mothers today as we honor our mothers for Mother's Day and on the service together for worship. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to gather this Mother's Day Sunday morning. God, we praise you for just the gift of life. Lord, we thank you for eternal life. And Lord, this morning we're thankful for the privilege of taking time out of our week to worship you and to lift up and exalt your name. God, we love you. We thank you for the influence of our mothers, God. I'm thankful for a godly mother who prayed for me, who still prays for me, and Lord, who set a godly example of how we should live this life. And Lord, I'm thankful for the privilege to open your word today and Lord, see examples in scripture of what godly faith looks like. And Lord, how we can strive to have that same faith that Noah possessed. And Lord, as we look at different characters throughout the Old Testament, men and women who demonstrated various character traits, Lord, that were forged under fire through great trial, you used them to be a picture of what we should be striving to live like in this life as followers of Christ. So Lord, just speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that whatever distractions of our week may be on people's hearts and minds, God, Lord, the weariness of all of the pandemic and the things that people are facing right now, God, just pray that you would just, you would be glorified through all that's said and done. And God, that you would speak through your word to our hearts, transform us. Lord, for those who may not know as Lord and Savior, God, that this morning would be that moment that they understand their need of a Savior and believe and place their faith and trust that you loved us so much that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. Lord, I pray that they would place their faith and trust in you for salvation. And God, just transform our hearts and lives, Lord, this morning. We need to hear from you. God, we need a touch from heaven this morning. We'll give you the glory for what you're going to accomplish in your precious name. Amen. This morning, looking at pictures of the Old Testament, the theme of the series is really how God is seeking to stretch us to go beyond our comfort zone so that he can grow our character. You know, sometimes we go through a trial or a time in our lives that is difficult, and sometimes it's okay. We can ask God why. We can ask God questions like this. It's okay. We're human. Even like Christ, when he was in the garden, asked if it was the Father's will for this cup to pass from him. Obviously, he knew that that was the plan of God the Father for the redemption of mankind. But you know, sometimes it's okay to ask why, but we don't want to stay there too long. We want to ultimately see the power of God on display in our lives and see our character grow because of what he has accomplished in and through our lives. And so we should desire to possess these particular character traits. And God uses these times to purify us and make us more like him. In life, there are really two zones that we can live in. We can live in the comfort zone. That's a safe place. It doesn't require a lot of courage or faith to live within our comfort zone. It doesn't require a lot of obedience. And sometimes people like to settle into the comfort zone and they just kind of put life on autopilot and they're just kind of cruising through life. The problem is with the comfort zone is we don't grow in that comfort zone. We don't grow in those areas where everything is just kind of easy and laid back. You may think the worst that could happen is the longer you stay, you just remain the same. But folks, that's not really the truth. Actually, the longer you stay in your comfort zone, the less you stay the same, because atrophy sets in. And either you're growing stronger in your relationship with Jesus Christ, or you're growing further away and growing weaker in that relationship with Christ. So what needs to happen is something has to stretch us out of that comfort zone and get into the other zone, and that's the character zone. And the character zone isn't always a safe place, but it's in the character zone that we experience the growth that God wants for each one of our lives. He wants to see his glory on display in our lives. And so whenever we are in the comfort zone, oftentimes we're not taking new territory for God. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit of God to transform us. We're just kind of coasting. But what happens in that character zone is God, we begin to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, his God's Son in our lives. It's only in that character zone that we find that significance and are enabled to partner with God to build his kingdom and make a difference in our world. Every time I've led a mission team that's gone around the world, we talk about praying. We pray with our team as we're preparing to go, but there's nothing like being on the field and experiencing, getting out of your comfort zone and experiencing the person of Jesus Christ so alive and at work, and you experience his presence. You feel the prayers of those back home and you see God radically transform lives. It's there that God forges our character and refines us. In this character tour of the Old Testament, we're going to see how God stretched people in order to develop Christ-likeness in them. And today we're going to start with the picture of Noah. And it's really a picture of faith. As you remember, Noah is preaching the gospel. He keeps telling the world that God is going to bring judgment on this world. He's going to flood. There's going to be a flood. They're laughing at him. They think he's a crazy man. Let's pick up our story in Genesis chapter 6. Beginning in verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man who I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." We see, to start off with, Noah had a personal faith in God. He knew God. He talked to God. He fellowshiped with God. And some translations, the word favor there is also translated the word grace. Indeed, grace is unmerited favor. It's getting something that we don't deserve. So Noah benefits from God's grace. This is only accessed by a personal faith in God. And so through him, we've also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, Romans chapter 5 says. Paul is saying, he says, we can have access to God, to his grace, by faith. And folks, what an awesome thing to know that we're not alone in this life. When we're facing a trial, when we're going through some of the deepest waters of this life, at this point, it's a powerful thing to realize that God, our faith in God, is going to sustain us and carry us through the greatest, deepest struggles of this life. So maybe it's really is best to explain the differences between the Old Testament and New Testament salvation. Some people mistakenly think the Old Testament believers were saved by just observing the law and offering sacrifices. But folks, Old Testament believers were saved by their faith in God. They believed in the God who promised a Messiah. He would send a Messiah. So they were looking forward to the day that Jesus Christ would one day come to earth and die on the cross for our sin. Old Testament saviors, people were saved by their faith in a Messiah who was promised. They were saved by faith in the promised Messiah who would one day come. New Testament believers were also saved through faith in the promised Messiah who has already come, and his name is Jesus. For New Testament believers, salvation is like a gift certificate. It's already been paid for. We just need to accept it. It's that free gift of eternal life that God is offering us, and we have to cash it in. Jesus has already paid that debt. For the Old Testament believers, it was more like credit. It was received before it was actually paid for. Old Testament believers pointed towards the cross of when Jesus would come to die. All that was prophesied and foretold and foreshadowed, the animal sacrifices were a temporary thing, but it was leading up to the day that the precious Lamb of God would come to take away the sins of the entire world. So New Testament believers then are saved by looking back to the cross and to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Old Testament believers were assured of their salvation by virtue of the promise of God's word. His word promise in Joel chapter 2, verse 32, "It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The New Testament, we have a very similar verse in Romans 10, 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." If you've memorized any of the Romans Road, you've memorized chapter 10, verse 13. And it's any one of us who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Noah was saved by grace through faith, just as we are today. No one might expect that in the case, when you think about Noah's family and the people who'd come before him, some of his forefathers were great believers like Methuselah and Enoch. In fact, the Word of God tells us that Enoch walked with God, and Enosh, the grandson of Adam, didn't die until Noah was about 80 years old. And so you would think, you know, some people may say, well, you know, he had a whole lineage or family tree of people who lived for God and all of those things. The thing is, though, salvation is not passed down. Every single one of us must choose to believe in Jesus Christ. God doesn't have any great-grandchildren or grandchildren. And there's something you can inherit is eternal life because of what your parents have done. It's a decision that's made in response to God's truth. And folks, it must be a personal faith. It must be a personal faith. Noah had a personal faith in God. He believed God and his word. I wonder this morning, do you have a personal faith? Have you personally believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins? Folks, you must place your faith in Christ alone in order to have faith. This morning, in order to receive Christ, is not based on the fact that you had a godly mother or a godly grandmother. If that were the case, Timothy would have been saved, because we see the examples in Scripture of godly women that poured into him and taught him the Scriptures, which the Word of God says made him wise unto salvation. But no, that's Noah had a personal faith. We also see he had a practiced faith. In verse 9 of our text in chapter 6, it says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God." Noah's faith brought transformation and life change to his life. In fact, to be righteous means to be right. God calls us to apply our faith to ourselves and correct what is wrong about us. That's why the Word of God is like a mirror to the soul. As we look into the Word, begin to read it, it begins to convict us and show us areas of our lives that need to be changed. English novelist Charles Reed said this. He said, "Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny." Now, this quote is neutral, but however, notice what happens when you start with a wrong thought. You sow a wrong thought, reap a wrong action. Sow a wrong character, reap a wrong destiny. Conversely, notice what happens when we start with the right way of thinking. Sow a right thought, reap a right action. Sow a right action, reap a right habit. Sow a right habit, reap a right character. Sow a right character, reap a right destiny. Folks, what happens is the decisions that we make during difficult times really determines who we become. When the tough things come our way, when tough trials come our way, we either dig deeper into that relationship with Jesus Christ or we run further away and abandon it. What happens is God is wanting us to dig deep and follow the example that Noah set in that personal relationship with Christ and that practice faith that he had. Romans chapter 12, Paul tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You know, to move from my comfort zone to the character zone, I must be stretched by challenging and changing my thinking to God's truth. In fact, when that happened in Noah's life, it brought about separation from the world. As he began to take a stand and preach the Word of God for the glory of God and began to point others to the Savior, it's not about copying the behaviors of the world. Noah stood out from the world in this day. He was separate. And in fact, the Word of God, the Bible says, Noah was the only blameless person living on earth at that time. Imagine, you're the only one desiring to live for God. And folks, what happens is that'll change in our life too as we get to know God and have a personal faith and practice faith in our life. It will be separate from the world, will be different from the world. Also, we see it brought dedication to God. Noah met God. He met with God. He dug into the Word of God. He spent time in prayer. If I'm going on a walk, I've got to find a place to meet someone. If I can meet someone on a walk or go on a run with someone, I've got to find a place to meet them. The place that we meet God is in His Word. And folks, we dig into the Word of God and read verse after verse. It begins to confirm to us the truth of God's Word, how He's always there. He's not going to forsake us or abandon us or fail us. And so it brought dedication to God. As the more he dug into prayer and His faith was deeply rooted in that personal relationship and practical relationship of faith. He believed God when no one listened to his preaching. Imagine everyone thinks you're crazy and yet you're convinced God is going to bring a flood. He's told you. You're building an ark. I mean, how much more committed can you get when you're building this ark and the entire world is mocking you and ridiculing you? And yet it brought a dedication to God. We see lastly, Noah had a powerful faith. And the word continues on in verse 11. It says, "The earth was corrupt in God's sight. The earth was filled with violence. God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, 'I've determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it: the length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above. and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it a lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flash of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that's on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. You shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. There shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten, and store it up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. And the last verse there wraps up and says, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Noah's faith was powerful, not because of the strength of his faith, but it was the object of his faith. It was the strength that he had in his relationship with God. God is the one, he's our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. The disciples' problem was that they had faith in their faith, but their faith was not founded in God. Noah had faith in a God who he had come to know through his daily walking with God. So it's what happens is, during the good times, when we're walking with God, we're little trials that come our way, tests that come our way, begin to stretch our faith and strengthen our faith. But folks, whenever we face a tragedy or a major trial, like many of us are going through right now, what happens is when you go through a deep water, that character, the dependence upon God that's happened all of the times previous, now gives us the confidence and the faith to believe that God is going to be able to move that mountain. It gives us the faith of a mustard seed. Faith is always described as a walk. He says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Because Noah had walked with God, he was prepared for his next step. He obeyed. In fact, verse 22 says, he did all that God commanded him. Say, Pastor, what's the application this morning? How do we land the plane, so to speak? Noah's faith enabled him to see what was invisible. When Noah built the ark, he was building it in the middle of a desert. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. He built the ark on dry land. Most scholars believe it had never even rained up to that point. So as Noah is saying, it's great floods and rainwater is going to come and it's going to flood the entire earth, people are just dying laughing. This sounds like the most crazy, out in left field thing you could possibly imagine. How did Noah not wonder if he was crazy? How did it not, you know, the psychological effect have an impact on him that maybe he was crazy? He was trained, though, daily to recognize the voice of God. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And he understood that God was there. You see, even through the Old Testament believer, even though they didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit that we have today, they could still ask for the ministry of God in their lives, and they would recognize the voice of God through the Spirit's working. They would experience the power of God on display. And folks, what happens is, John 16, verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Aren't you thankful today that with the person of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, if you know Christ as your Savior, he gives us discernment. He gives us wisdom. We can feel the presence and power of God. And even though as strange as it is to worship through a video and a live stream, to know that God is still very much work at work in our midst and in our hearts and in our lives and in our church. And it's awesome to experience that. Rick Warren said this. He says, every vision or dream from God comes in three parts. He says, the what, the how, and the when. And if you look at Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's the what. He says, commit your way to the Lord. That's the how. How is this going to happen? Trust in him, and he will act or bring it to pass. That's the when. In other words, he begins to reveal his plan, the vision, the dream of what it is that he wants to accomplish in and through our lives. Noah's faith enabled him to experience something that was so incredible. He experienced the power of God. Our family's not had a chance to go and tour the Ark experience in Kentucky. That's on our bucket list. It's one of the places that we want to go at some point. But folks, Noah's faith enabled him to experience something that was so incredible. And I don't know if you've thought about it, but during this whole lockdown, as we've all been kind of staying at home under strict orders, do you ever think about what it must have been like, all those days and nights of rain, that Noah and his family and all of those animals were cooped up on that ark? I mean, it must have been quite the experience. I mean, so surreal. Unless God put them into some kind of hibernation where they all slept the whole time, I can only imagine what it must have been like to try to go to sleep at night and nobody else is sleeping on the boat. I mean, it was completely crazy. They're quarantined, so to speak. But Noah's experienced something incredible. He built an ark in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he could not see, and he acted on by faith on what he was told. The result, the word of God says his family was saved. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he was condemned the world, and he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that came by faith. You see, the story of Noah is a picture of faith. It was a picture of his faith in God. Noah's faith enabled him to invest in the eternal. Noah's sons were sufficiently impressed with their father's faith. They believed themselves, and they joined him in building and entering the ark. And folks, what happens is when you and I move from the comfort zone to the character zone, it's not only makes us makes a difference in us, but folks, it makes an eternal difference in others. Other people are watching our example. They're watching our faith, and it encourages them. It inspires them. Many times when we go through trials, the people that are watching us from the periphery, those coworkers, those neighbors, those family members, those children in our own house, don't shelter them from every trial or everything that's happening in our world. But folks, what happens is God allows them to see the faith in us on display, and it will strengthen their faith. It will encourage them. It will strengthen their resolve to follow Christ. When people look back at our pictures long after we're gone from this earth, will they see a picture of faith as they did in Noah's case? If not, start now by living not in the comfort zone, but moving over to the character zone. In times like this, the times like we're living in 2020, allow the Lord to mold our character to reflect our faith in him, and realize that God has a purpose. And folks, if we'll allow him to, he will use this for something that will benefit the kingdom of God. As we allow him to work in and through our hearts and through our lives, through our church, in our city, in our nation, and around the world, folks, people, the kingdom of God will be expanded when people see the faith of God's children on display, like in Noah's case. What an awesome thing. I can't wait over the next few Sundays to study and look at the faith of those and the character of each of these men and women of God and how God used them to change and transform their world around them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessings on our time of worship. Thanks, Father, for the the opportunity to open the Word of God this morning. Lord, we're thankful for each of our mothers and, Lord, the influence that they've had on our lives. Lord, their faith that's been on display. And so many of us have been blessed to have mothers who loved you and desired to that we might know you. And God, I'm thankful for that influence. Lord, I'm thankful for the influence that Noah had and how he was willing to get out of his comfort zone and move to the character zone and allow your Holy Spirit and your power of your Son to transform his life. God, do something in our midst this morning. Lord, in the midst of this whole COVID-19 pandemic time, God, may you do something to draw us closer in relationship with you. Strengthen our faith and our resolve to follow you and to glorify you. And Lord, may it have an eternal impact on the kingdom of God. Lord, may we point others to a relationship with you. And Lord, those who don't have a personal faith story, Lord, I pray this morning this would be that very moment that they place their faith and trust in you and cry out for forgiveness, confess their sins, and receive the free gift of eternal life of what you accomplished on the cross of Calvary. God, we'll give you the precious, the glory and the honor and praise that's due your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church family, thank you for joining us on this Mother's Day. If you have an opportunity, if your mother is alive, take the opportunity to at least call her or see her if you're able to, and encourage her, let her know how much you appreciate her today. And be safe this week. We're praying for you. If we can help you in any way, please let us know. Leave us a note in the comments below, or reach out and text us, or send us a personal message on Facebook. We'd love to encourage you and pray for you in these days ahead.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. Sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. Brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. And my feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. Not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. And my feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. And my feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Stand a chance when I stand.